Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow before you, Lord. Thanking you for being our God. Thanking you for being the banner of victory over our lives, Father. We thank you, your Yahweh Nisi, Father. That Lord, in you, O God, we have a victory, O God, to realize. We are a people at war, and you mean for us, O God, to unveil the reality, O God, of the victory of the Lamb through our lives. In all that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed, we pray that your Spirit will stir within us, O God, the reality, O God, of the rod of God, Father, and bring forth from out of us, O God, that reality of the rod of God to strike the enemy, Father, to unfold, O God, the victory of the Lamb, to manifest, O God, all that you mean to unveil in accordance with the oath you have undertaken to battle Amalek from generation to generation. So we pray that, Lord, as we open our hearts to you, as we are built in the witness from our inward parts, that all that is within us, O God, will declare that you are indeed, O God, the Lord who reigns in us, that in you, Lord, we have the victory. In you, O God, we can manifest that victory in every area of our life. So transform us, O God. Bring forth in us a new measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Unfold us, O God, as a people who know how to walk by the Spirit, Lord, in a growing intimacy, Lord. That all that we unfold, Father, will be, O God, of the victory of the Lamb, will be manifested, O God, through the blood of the Lamb, Father. That the victory of the Lamb will be established in everything that we become, in everything that we do, in thought, word, and in deed. So we ask you to bless us with your word. Let your word come forth in us, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of Yahweh Nisi. And Yahweh Nisi means the Lord is my banner. So let's just go through Exodus chapter 17 again. From verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, Yahweh Nisi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. In the New American Standard, it reads, the Lord has sworn the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of the rod of God. We realize that the rod of God in this situation was unveiled on top of the hill. And we know that we stand in the mount of the Lord. We stand in the mount of the Lord, and we have within us the ability of realizing the staff of God or the rod of God, and be able to manifest that rod of God from our witness through what we say. So we have meditated on the fact that God's rod was defined by the words God spoke to Moses. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. Verse 17. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. And the reason why the signs were manifested through this rod was simply because God had spoken the reality. Right? He said, you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Verse 20, then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those signs, all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so we need to understand that the rod of God is manifested according to the words that are spoken, and God demonstrates this. God demonstrates this through the signs that he manifested against Egypt. So let's look at Exodus chapter 7. Verse 15. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Praise the Lord. What are we seeing here? That God is manifesting what Moses spoke forth through the rod. But that rod was just a rod before God spoke into that rod. He said, with this rod you shall do the signs. All right? And now as he's going to do the signs, Moses is instructed to speak very clearly about what is going to happen. Before the rod was used to strike the waters of Israel, Moses speaks out the words that will manifest when the rod strikes the waters. So you'll see that the words were what the rod brought forth. All right, the words, okay? So you know from Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12 that God is watching over his word to perform it. All right? God is watching over his word to perform it. And this is what we want to really look at through the rod of God. All right, the rod of God. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. From verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod, and you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, where I meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod apiece. For each leader, according to their father's houses, 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Right? So that holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, is now called the tabernacle of witness. All right? Now each one of us is a tabernacle of witness. Right? 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. All right? Are you listening? Okay. Verse 8. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to all the children of Israel. And they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony, to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die. Thus did Moses, just as the Lord had commanded him, so he did. So the children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, "Surely we die, we perish, we all perish. Whoever even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord must die, shall we all utterly die." All right. So there was a complaint against Moses and Aaron. And Aaron's rod was brought before the Lord. All the tribes of Israel, the heads of the tribes of Israel, brought their staffs. All the staffs were put before the tabernacle of the testimony, which was the Ark of the Covenant. Right? And in the tabernacle of the witness, which is the holy place, we see that the rod of Moses or the rod of Aaron was the only rod that budded. Praise the Lord. There are several things we want to draw from this rod of God that is referred to as the rod of Aaron. The reason why it is called the rod of Aaron is because Aaron represents a priesthood. Aaron represents a priesthood. All right, and we need to understand that in the new covenant we are all members of a priesthood. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and we are members of his body. Each one of us is a priest. We operate this priesthood in a tabernacle or a temple. And this temple is the temple of our body. When we are born again, God opens inside of us a witness. When we are spirit baptized, that witness is brought into a functional reality. When Aaron's rod budded, it means that God was ready to perform the word. And that's what we need to understand. As Christians, we must all grow to a point where the witness within us is in a position where God will perform the word that comes forth through our witness. And that's what God wants to raise in the Christian church. A church which has a witness which God will honor when that witness is manifested. And one of the realities of that witness that God wants to manifest is the reality of that witness in warfare. To strike the enemy, to strike the strongholds of the enemy. And you realize that this witness only buds when God says so. It is the work of God, it's not the work of men. It is a witness that is honored by God and God alone. But you need to understand that this rod is brought to fruition in the tabernacle of witness. So today as we stand as a church, we want to develop that witness that God has opened into us through the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross. We are a prophetic people. We are born again. And in being born again, that seed of Christ was planted inside of us and the witness of Christ was opened inside of us. In being baptized by the Holy Spirit, that reality of Christ in us is now ready to be manifested in a functional position. That is positionally. Now God wants to raise the church into the mount of the Lord so that we will all be able to manifest the word that God is wanting to perform. And this is very important. The word has to be the word that God is wanting to perform. All right? Are you listening? Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 to put all things together. In last week's teaching, let's just read this. From verse 2. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. Right? That is also called the tabernacle of witness. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense. And if you look at the tabernacle of Moses, the golden altar of incense was actually in the tabernacle of witness, or the tabernacle of the holy place, or the tent of meeting. But here, we are being told that that altar of incense is in the Holy of Holies. That altar of incense, right, is our heart. And our heart is meant to manifest the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Let's cross-reference 2 Corinthians chapter 2. From verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? The point I want to make is that the fragrance of Christ is what is manifested from the altars of our heart. All right? And this is what is called, right, the altar of incense. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. And let's look at verse 4 again. Or rather from verse 3. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 3. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. Praise the Lord. So we want to just stop there. So the last time we met, we talked about that ark of the covenant, and we said that it was initially called the ark of the testimony. All right? It is also called the ark of the covenant. It was also called the Ark of God, called by the name of the Lord of hosts. And then we also talked about the fact that this Ark was called the Ark of God's might. So this Ark is described by four different realities. It is a testimony, it is a covenant, it is a manifestation of the name of God, and it is also the manifestation of his might. So the witness and the testimony of God is used to manifest a covenant. And that covenant is unveiled to us in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is the manifested name of God. John chapter 17 verse 6. Right? Jesus said, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Now when Jesus was raised from the dead in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, Paul writes that he was raised from the dead in the strength of God's might. In the strength of God's might. Alright? So, the Ark of the Covenant is embodied in the name of Jesus. And all of us carry the name of Jesus. And all of us carry the name of Jesus. We are a priesthood. And what was the task of the priesthood in the Old Covenant? One of the tasks of the priesthood in the Old Covenant was to carry the Ark of God. Was to carry the Ark of God, right? Now let's also look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister to him and to bless in his name to this day. And you see, this reality is now being fulfilled in each one of us. Are you with me? This reality is being manifested in each one of us. All of us carry the name of Jesus. All of us are called to minister to God in the name of Jesus. And all of us are called to become ministers of the Lord our God, to bless in his name. Are you with me? In fact, Jesus says you are called to do all things in my name, because all things in my name will be given to you. All things in my name will be done for you. Let's cross-reference again John chapter 14. John chapter 14 verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the task of the church is to rise into a position where we will be able to see Jesus do all things through his body. That he will be made manifest through his body. Amen. Let's look at verse 26 of John 17. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. right? I in them. Are you with me? So this witness that we are talking about is the fullness of Jesus Christ alive in us by the Holy Spirit. And the intent is so that we can do all things in the name of Jesus. And Aaron's rod that budded is the reality of us being able to do some measure of something in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Okay? The reality of Aaron's rod that budded is a reality of us being able to do some measure of something in the name of Jesus. Obviously, what can be done in the name of Jesus is theoretically limitless. Right? Theoretically limitless. Right? Why do we say theoretically limitless? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Right? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Right? So we need to understand that Aaron's rod that budded is a manifestation of the power and authority of Jesus Christ within each one of us. And this is an authority that manifests as we rise into the mount of the Lord. Amen. Now, how do you rise into the mount of the Lord? Through your heart. You must have a clean heart. Right? You must have a pure heart and clean hands. Where do we find that? We find that in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Right? In order to win the battle against the enemy, Moses went on a mount, on a hill, and he unveiled the rod of God in his hands. God was giving a spiritual picture that is available to each and every one of us. We all have the potentials of rising into the mount of the Lord. It is in the mount of the Lord that we stand before God. It is in the mount of the Lord that we unveil the witness of God. It is in the mount of the Lord that God is going to testify of what he means to manifest. It's in the mount of the Lord that God is going to enable us to function in his covenant. It is in the mount of the Lord that God is going to reveal his name in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And it is in the mount of the Lord that God is going to manifest his authority and power in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Right? So everything that we do in prayer, everything that we do in worship, everything that we do as we learn how to expound God's word, teach God's word, preach God's word, share God's word, counsel in God's word, is all a reality of God building a witness in us that is meant to be a witness unveiled in the mount of the Lord. Amen? Okay, so let's go back and read those two verses in Psalm 24 so that you understand what we are talking about. All right, let's look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? All right? Now the Hebrew word for hill and the Hebrew word for mount is the same. So who may ascend into the mount of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen? So that rod of Aaron that budded represents the righteousness of God that is manifested in our lives. It's the result of the work of God in our lives. It is only God who can create in us a clean heart and manifest us with clean hands. Are you listening? All right? Now how does God do that? He does that by asking us to set our hope entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says that if we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are purified even as he is pure. This faith is the substance of hope, the evidence, right? So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith will be of Jesus Christ, and the substance of Jesus Christ manifested into you will always be perfect. And the evidence will be the reality of the witness and testimony of Jesus alive inside of you. And it's a functional reality. Are you with me? Okay. So this reality of a pure heart is available to anyone who is born again. Because it's very, in principle, it is very simply manifested. If you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be purified even as He is pure. So you don't have to stand on your head. But your focus must be on Jesus Christ, not on things. Not on things. If you substitute Jesus Christ, this whole process that I'm talking about will be short-circuited. It doesn't exist. Praise the Lord. So what is this reality that is behind the veil? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. So the New American Standard reads this way: "This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." All right? So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is anchored behind the veil, and behind the veil is the reality of the Mount of the Lord. But it's only opened to a priesthood, which is why all the other 11 tribes of Israel, right, didn't see their rods being budded. Only the priesthood saw the rod being budded. Right? Which means to say that this reality does not exist if you're not prepared to walk in an intimacy with God. For this reality exists for someone who is willing to seek the face of God. Right? And David, who stood in the office of king, prophet, and priest, is the one who has found this reality, right? And he wrote it. Let's look at Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. David makes a dramatic statement here. "O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart." Again, it is something that rises from your heart. What is God doing with us? He's creating in us a clean heart. How is He creating in us the clean heart? Through the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ, He's creating in us a clean heart. The Holy Spirit is circumcising that heart so that the realities of the Word of God will be performed in our lives in the name of Jesus. So that the witness that God has manifested inside of us will bear fruit. And now if you now begin to look at the whole scripture, you will find that God means to manifest the scripture into us as a living witness, according to the calling that He has on our lives. And He means for us to realize, right, the Word of God that God is willing to perform through our lives. Now there is some aspect of the awesome reality of God's Word that is meant to be manifested in your life. Jesus earned that place for you. He paid the price for it. And through His sacrifice, that witness of Jesus Christ has been opened to you. You are born again. And in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, the merits of the Lamb of God, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit so that you now have a witness inside of you that stands before God. And in this witness, as you set your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are being brought into the mount of the Lord. Amen. What are we realizing? We are realizing the reality of Yahweh Yireh. In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord, it will be seen. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Right? So that provision was given to us through a sacrifice. And the witness of that sacrifice is alive in each one of us. And the witness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is being developed inside of us so that we will be a priesthood who will be able to walk into the Holy of Holies as the fragrance of Jesus Christ is manifested from the altars of our heart. So the incense was called the altar of incense. So Jesus was given to us as a sacrifice, but as we come into a communion with Him, as we pass over into a communion with Him, the fragrance of Jesus Christ comes alive from our hearts by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we now have an access into the Holy of Holies in the incense and fragrance of Jesus Christ alive in our hearts. That access does not exist in our names. It exists only in the name of Jesus. Amen. And once we are in the Holy of Holies, what is God talking about? He's talking about our hearts being tablets of the covenant. He's talking about us being unveiled as unique epistles of Christ, unique letters of Christ. Amen? We have hearts of flesh. Whose flesh? The flesh of the Lamb. And what is the intent of God? To manifest the rod of God, to see the word of God being performed through our lives, according to the calling upon each one of our lives. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now let's go back and let's put this together again. So that we understand what exactly that God is trying to tell us. All right. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. And let's put the prophetic, before we go to Jeremiah chapter 1, in doing all of this, what are we trying to explain, right? What is God doing inside of us? Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Verse 44. Let's read for context from verse 33. And they rose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. What had they done? They had met Jesus, right? These were the two guys walking from to a village called Emmaus, right? And they meet Jesus, right? At first they didn't recognize him. But when he, look at verse 30. And it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened. So as we partake of the Passover of the Lamb and we manifest in the Mount of the Lord, our eyes are open to see God. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." All right. He took the bread, blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Praise the Lord. And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still, while they still could not believe it, for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. And he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And what we are opening here is the fact that there is a dimension of scripture that is meant to be fulfilled in your specific life. That's what we are talking about. This is something that God has given us in His love. This is something that is being manifested in us, that is part of the Passover of the Lamb. We are being raised into the Mount of the Lord. And the reason why we are being raised into the Mount of the Lord is so that we will see the rod of God manifest in our lives. That this is the destiny of the church. This is the destiny in each one of our lives. That rod of God that is to be manifested in our lives is part and parcel of what is written as the epistle of Christ. You and I are unique epistles of Christ. And God means to perform this reality in each one of our lives. All right? Are you listening? All right? Praise the Lord. Okay? So, the word of God is something very personal to you. You see, the word of God is not about something. It is to be manifested as a living reality inside of us. The word of God is to be performed into our being. It is to manifest us in a position that God has ordained for us. A position that is a high place. A high place reserved for the sons of God. A high place that is reserved for a priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. A high place of kingship. A high place in which we will be a prophetic people. And the rod of Aaron blossoming is the reality of the prophetic word being manifested through our lives. God has done a work in our lives. So now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11. Verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. All right. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And this is the reality of Aaron's rod that budded. Are you with me? This is the reality of Aaron's rod that budded. And this reality of Aaron's rod that budded is part of what God calls the word of the oath. The word of the oath. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7 verse 28. You know what Hebrews chapter 7 is all about. The priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. All right? And look at verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak. But the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. And the son is being revealed in each one of us uniquely. We are each an epistle of Christ. We are each a letter of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, right? You are a letter of Christ, or you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. Listening? All right? Okay? A letter of Christ, a letter of Messiah, right? The Messiah is a person. And so he says in verse 28 here of Hebrews 7, for the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. And in each one of us, the fullness of Jesus Christ is being perfected and completed, so that we will each unveil as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's cross-reference again Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. So Yahweh Nisi is God our banner. And what is this banner that God has unveiled into us over our lives? a banner that is going to manifest the victory of the Lamb into our lives. What does it mean that the victory of the Lamb is manifested into our lives? That we will be raised and made manifest as chosen instruments of God, unveiled in the Mount of God, each one of us answering a unique calling of God in our lives. And as that calling is manifested, and there is manifested in each one of us a fruitfulness that is of God, the victory of God has been established in our lives. It has been realized in our lives. So God is our banner. Why is He our banner? He's our banner because all that is manifested in us is 100% the work of God. It is a manifestation of His righteousness. It's a manifestation of what He has done in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit in each one of us. He has done a creative work. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And none of us can boast because it is God's work in our lives. To realize this, we must yield to God. We must yield to Him. And how do we yield to God? We yield to God by realizing the name of Jesus, by focusing on the name of Jesus, by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the Son in our hearts, by asking the Holy Spirit to create in us a heart of flesh that is of the fullness of the Son, so that we will learn how to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Yahweh Nisi, God is our banner, is the reality that God has enabled you and me to actually function in the name of Jesus. Actually realize the Word of God being performed in our lives. That is an act of God. That is a tremendous work of God. To take sinful people, people who do not know what is right and wrong, and transform them into saints, to transform them into a holy people, to transform them into a holy priesthood, to transform them into sons of God, to transform them into princes and kings, to transform them into a prophetic people who will stand on the mount of the Lord and see God being glorified through their lives. That is amazing. That is amazing. That is the work of God. That is not the work of man. It is a manifestation of the righteousness of God. It is an awesome workmanship. It is the manifestation of perfection. The work of God wrought in each one of our lives. All right, let's turn to John chapter 3. Verse 21. Verse 20 and 21. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. That's what we are talking about. Realizing this Passover, rising into the Mount of the Lord, occupying that position that God wants us to be in, to be able to dwell in the tent of the Lord all the time. To be able to dwell in the tent of the Lord all the time. And how do you do that? By simply setting your hope on Jesus Christ. The moment you set your hope on Jesus Christ, all of His merits are imputed to you, and you are anchored behind the veil. Behind the veil is the reality of the Mount of the Lord. And the Mount of the Lord is infinite in its scope, because it ultimately speaks of the Most High God. But the moment you set your hope on Jesus, the merits of Jesus Christ are imputed to you according to the reality of Jesus that you have come to receive and realize in your heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it gives you a position. That position is not a static position. That position is a dynamic position. So we are given a position. It is not a static position, it is a dynamic position. That means that position will continue to grow. So Psalm 91 verse 1 says that you are tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the work of the Almighty God. in bringing you into the reality of the Most High God. You are being manifested in the secret place. It is a place that God has ordained for you in the merits of the Lamb. And it is the banner of God unfolded over your life that is going to bring forth this realization into your life. All this is part and parcel of our salvation. So salvation is not merely being born again. Salvation is realizing everything that God has given us in Jesus Christ. So the word of the oath comes after the law. And the word of the oath stands in the Son. And as the Son, as the reality of the Son of God is opened into our hearts, that reality of Him is perfected and completed into us. And we are raised into the mount of the Lord. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of God. Praise the Lord. So that is what the battle is all about. To get you into the mount of the Lord. And last Sunday we talked about the vision that Rick Joyner saw. And what was the focus? The mount of the Lord. That's the battle. If we are going to win the battle and destroy the works of the Lord, we have to rise into the mount of the Lord and unveil the rod of God. Because only the rod of God can strike the enemy. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is Satan. And you and I have to take that position and that authority that God has given us to strike the enemy in the area in which we are called to represent Jesus Christ. You can't do that by the flesh. You have to do that by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that the law has been changed. There is a new law. It is not the law that is of the letter. All right, verse 11 and 12. Now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, Hebrews chapter 7 verse 11. For if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. What is the change of law? Go to Romans chapter 8 verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So what was the battle all about, being set free from the law of sin and death? Right? Being set free from the law of sin and death. So we are called to function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. You can't function in Christ Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You can't by the flesh think that we can do the work of God. It will never work. So it has to be something that is of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So that is the new law. Everything must be established in you in Christ Jesus. And everything that is established in Christ Jesus must be the work of the Holy Spirit. If it is not the work of the Holy Spirit, you cannot realize the life that God has given you in Jesus Christ. You will just live in your righteousness, and the Bible already says your righteousness and my righteousness is filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. So today we are not under the law, we walk by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. The task is for us to explain the gospel so that people will receive and realize the fullness of Jesus Christ and not a mere principle. People must understand that that principle has to be unveiled in the character and nature of Jesus. That principle has to be explained through the witness and testimony of Jesus. That principle has to be described and be written into your heart in the spirit and life of Jesus. That principle must unveil in the nature and character of Jesus being perfected and fashioned into you. That principle must be performed in the faith and love that Jesus Christ expressed for you and me on the cross. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 that Jesus is the author and finisher and perfecter of your faith. So how does he author and finish your faith? With whose faith? With his faith. Why his faith? Because his faith is a perfect faith. Because his faith overcame death. His faith destroyed the works of the enemy. Because his love is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. You're listening, right? So we are called to unveil the ark of God. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Whose glory? The Father's glory. To be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now Christ is a person. He is not merely an anointing. He is a person. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Why? Because faith is substance. And if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith will be of him. And that's how Christ dwells in you. And that you being rooted and grounded in love. Why love? Simply because all this is being manifested inside of you through a witness of blood, water, and spirit. And that witness is the witness of the cross. It is a manifestation of the love of God. It is a manifestation of the love of God given to you through sacrifice. Amen? And so he says, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. So breadth and length and height and depth represents what? A box, isn't it? What is the Ark of the Covenant? A box. But this length and breadth and height and depth are of the fullness of Jesus Christ that comes to us through his love. Are you listening? So in Jesus Christ, in the manifestation of the fullness of Jesus Christ, there is a testimony to be fulfilled, there is a covenant to be defined, there is the name of God to be realized, and there is the reality of the might of God to be fulfilled in our lives. Are you listening? So that you may be able to comprehend what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Amen. And each one of us is called to realize an increasing measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And as we stand in heavenly places, as the bride of the Lamb, we will manifest the fullness of God to the measure in which we have grown. And in all eternity, we will continue to grow. And the measure of the glory of God manifested through the bride will continue to increase day by day. Amen. Measure upon measure. From fullness to fullness. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? Okay. So Yahweh Nisi is about destroying sin in our lives. It is about destroying sin that occupies the world that we live in. We are a people at war. And we war when we pray. We war when we worship. We war when we preach and we teach and we counsel. Because in everything that we do, we are focused on destroying the strongholds of the enemy. As you worship God, as you learn how to worship God, what are you doing? You're breaking the strongholds of the enemy over your life. You're making God your priority. You're making God the be-all and end-all of your life. Amen? When you pray, what are you doing? You are calling forth the things of God into your life, into the lives of your loved ones, into the lives of the church, into the lives of human society. Amen? And all of us need to play our rightful role. You have a role to play, I have a role to play. And every person in the Christian church has a role to play. We must discover that role, which is the calling of God on our lives. And we must walk into that role. Ultimately, we will be judged based on how well we have played that role. We will be rewarded according to how well we have played that role. Amen? Are you with me? All right. We have a short time on this earth. Let's make that our life count. But we can only make our life count if we manifest Jesus Christ. Because there is no other name that God will recognize. There is no other name that God will honor. Everything that stands before God is going to stand in the name of Jesus Christ. There is going to be no other name by which man is going to stand. As the Bible says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. It is always good to read these things over and over again, because it is a battle for us to receive the concepts. It's a battle for us to receive the reality. It doesn't simply come. You have to keep on reinforcing that reality, because there is someone who is interested in stopping that reality from coming inside of you. All right? And he is the evil one, because he knows if Jesus Christ comes alive in us, the church of Jesus Christ is indestructible. Verse 17, and it says, and he, Jesus Christ, is before all things, and in him all things consist. The New American Standard says, in him all things hold together. Right? Consist and hold together. He is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Praise the Lord. The New American Standard, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. All the fullness that is going to be recognized in all eternity is of Jesus Christ. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Praise the Lord. So we are a priesthood, and our job is to unveil the Ark of the Covenant of God, isn't it? And the Ark of the Covenant of God is unveiled in the testimony and witness of Jesus Christ. It is unveiled in his name. It is unveiled with his power. The surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him. Ephesians 1:19. Awesome. And God wants us to understand and walk into this reality. The process is a very simple process, really. Fix your hope on Jesus. Fix your hope on Jesus, and as the revelation of Jesus manifests inside of you, you will come alive to his calling upon your lives. So this is what Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 says, right? That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards you who believe in him. Amen? So walk into that, brother. Walk into that. So the victory of the Lamb is the unveiling of Yahweh Nisi. But the victory of the Lamb is not some theological ideal. It is meant to be manifested in practical terms in our lives. We must have the courage to see Satan defeated in our life. Hello. We must have the courage to see Satan defeated under our lives, in our lives. So Romans chapter 16 verse 20 says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We will come to that name too, Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom is the manifestation of the victory of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. So Yahweh Nisi, God is our banner. And why is God our banner? God is our banner so that we will rise into the mount of the Lord and realize our position of being tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. By what means? By means of a word of oath sworn into your heart in the merits of the Lamb, by the Spirit in Jesus' name, in fulfillment of the Father's will. Awesome, isn't it? Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for Aaron's rod that budded. And Lord, we thank you that because our high priest is Jesus Christ, because our high priest is your Messiah, Father. Father, we know that Aaron's rod that budded is going to be fulfilled in each and every one of our lives. It's going to be fulfilled as the work of God. It's going to be fulfilled in the greatness of the oath that you have sworn in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that oath being unveiled in each one of us uniquely, Lord, because we are a unique epistle of Christ. And we thank you for that reality. And we are each being manifested in a growing Passover so that we will be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, so that we will be unveiled from under the shadow of the Almighty. And we will see the power and authority of Jesus Christ manifest through our lives as we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because our hearts are to be your workmanship, Father, written upon by the finger of God, that the substance of our hearts are to be of the flesh of the Lamb. And so, Father, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, so that we will walk into the good works you have ordained in each one of our lives, according to the calling of Jesus Christ upon our lives. So give us the sense of destiny. Give us that courage, O God, to rise up and walk, to put aside our pride, to put aside our self-righteous ways, to put aside, O God, our angry ways, to put aside our bitter ways, to put aside our self-centered and selfish ways, to put aside our arrogance and our stubbornness, to put aside our every kind of pride and disobedience, to put aside, O God, every kind of fear, to put aside, O God, every kind of lust and greed, O God, every kind of darkness that stands against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, every kind of prejudice of anger, bitterness, and racist ways, O God. O God, remove all of that junk from out of us, O God, and manifest in us a clean heart. A heart that will have the eyes to see you. A heart that will have the ears to hear you. A heart that will have the witness that will truly function in you, Father. We pray for the manifestation of the rod of God from the inward parts of your church, Lord, the body of Christ, that we will manifest that rod that is designed, O God, to destroy the works of the devil, Father. That we will rise, O God, to walk into that realization. Step by step, each passing day, write your word into us, O God, so that the realities will be of your word. The realities will be manifested in the spirit and life of Jesus, so that the realities will be described into us through his faith and his love for us, so that the realities will be described into us in his testimony and his witness, so that the realities will stand in his character and his nature worked into our being by the Holy Spirit. Indeed, we will be your workmanship, Father. So we give you glory and honor, Father, because it is our destiny to be filled to all the fullness of our God as we come alive to the love that Jesus reveals to us, Father. That love that comes through the witness in blood, water, and spirit. That love that comes to us through the cross. And we thank you that by the power of God given to us in the resurrection of the Lamb, we will surely realize what you have sworn as an oath in your Son. We thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.